Welcome to the Vet Coach Transition Tips Podcast, where you get real and practical advice on how to go from wearing boots to wearing a suit. We've got you covered on advice from writing resumes to killing it in an interview. Be sure to check out this podcast and more at transitionvetcoach.com. And now your host, former Navy Lieutenant Pat Bergstresser.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Vet Coach Transition Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Bergstresser. Thanks so much for joining us. Today is episode number 7, but transition tip number 6. And transition tip number 6 is the resume professional experience section. Now, this is really the heart of the resume. This is really where most of your work is going to be put in. This is where we're going to put most of your work. This is where we're going to spend most of your time. And honestly, going through this entire process of writing this section is going to set you up for your interview. So, and just help you better craft responses in your interview so that you come off as that clean, professional, polished veteran that I know you are, but you're going to have to convince the hiring manager and whoever else you're interviewing with. So, I'm going to warn everybody up front, this will probably be the longest podcast yet. It might be the longest one for a long time because we just have a lot to talk about, and there's a lot of details that I want to get into. And every vet out there knows that the devil is in the details, right? I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've been told that on active duty and by my parents who are also veterans. But that's just one thing the military is known for, is getting into the details and making sure that everything is taken care of. And so we're not going to change anything as we go through this section of the resume. We're going to get way into the details to make sure that your resume really is top-notch and every I is dotted and every T is crossed. You can completely surpass their expectations, and that's what we want to do here with all of the sections of the resume and as you go through your interviews and setting up your LinkedIn profile and all this other stuff we're going to talk about. But today, it's with the professional experience section on your resume. If you're not familiar with the resume format that we recommend, go over to transitionvetcoach.com, go to our blog section, and find the post on the resume format. If you check out that post, it'll tell you the 9 key sections that we recommend. So we've covered the header, the professional summary, the key skills, and now we're getting into professional experience. This is the heart of the resume, and there's a lot of work that goes into building this section, but it's going to make this section an awesome section, an awesome write-up, a lot of great, this is where you get to talk about all the great things you've done. And then on top of that, it's going to help you prepare for interviews and just help you reflect on your military experience. So as you go through this process, you know the key points that you want to hit on when you're talking to people. So without further ado, we'll jump into it. So the format. So there's 2 major types of formats you'll see resumes in. You'll see the chronological and the functional. Functional is when you're looking at the specific skill sets that you have and breaking up your resume in that way. So it's not a timeline-based resume. A lot of military vets use project management, operations management, program manager, stuff like that. And so they'll break up their section into their key skills areas or major skill set areas and then talk about how they're a project manager, how they're an ops manager, or whatever the case is. I don't recommend that format, mainly because as we're going through this process, we want to, like I said in the intro, we want to be able to prepare for our interviews. And if you want to go the functional route, you can, but I encourage you to start with chronological. And the reason is, as we go through the chronological format, building all of the accomplishments that you've had on active duty, that's going to help you figure out what you want to talk about on your resume and what you want to talk about in your interviews. And once you get all that information down on paper, you can reorganize it however you want. But for now, let's go ahead and stick with the chronological. Your resume will be in reverse chronological order. So as you go through this process we're describing, you can start with your most recent assignment and work backwards. That's probably the best way to start. But if you start with your first assignment, that's totally fine too. Just when you get to the end, you'll have to flip it all in reverse. So whichever way you want to go is totally fine. But chronological, let's start with that. And then if you want to go functional, there's tons of information and resources on the internet that can tell you how to do that. My resume is not functional, and pretty much all of the ones I've seen are not functional, but some people do prefer that. It's probably better the more senior you are, where you just can't capture every specific thing you've done. But chronological also helps tell a story. And when you're in an interview, you want to tell that story and kind of draw people into your personal story and what's interesting and unique about you. So that's why we recommend chronological. And even if you're going to do functional, stick with chronological to begin with, and then once we get all the information down on paper and we go through this organizational process, you can switch to functional if you want. Okay, so One thing I'll say about this, as we're writing this down, if you're applying for federal jobs, usajobs.com is the website you can do that. Your resume has no limit. So don't leave anything out as we go through this process. Now, that doesn't mean your resume should just be full of fillers if you're applying for a federal job. It should still all be good stuff, but you're not going to be held to the 1 or 2 page limit that you might be familiar with. It can be as long as you want. So that's why you don't want to leave anything out as we go through this process, because you may want to apply for a federal job someday and you want to have everything down on paper. So the first thing we're going to talk about here is getting out all your old performance reports, fit reps, evals, OERs, whatever you call them, get all of those out. Now, I've recommended this in previous podcasts, so I'll reiterate it again. Get them out before you get out, before you get off active duty, because it'll be a lot harder to get them when you get off active duty. So if you don't have them, I'd go get them right now. My chief always told me to save all of my fit reps in my me binder. So that when it came time to write new fit reps or write up awards or whatever, like stuff like that, I always had all those resources at hand. I never actually did that, but that's what I'm going to recommend to you. If you don't have a meme binder, you should go create one right now. But if you're getting out, get all of your old performance reports. If you're in the Navy, you can go to Bupers Online to get all of those. They save those miraculously. The website works and your personal record is available online. So if you're in the Navy, that's where you can get it. I assume, the Navy's not the best with the internet and web-based resources, so I assume the other services have it as well. Whatever the situation is, go get all your old performance reports, because that's going to be really helpful in remembering everything you did, especially your first 1 or 2 tours. If you've been in for a while, you might not remember some of your key success stories or key failure stories, which are going to be important throughout this whole process. So go get all your old performance reports. Next, open up a Word document, a blank Word document, and on that Word document, list out in either normal chronological order or reverse chronological order every base you've been assigned to, and then every assignment at that base, and then every position at that assignment. So for example, for me, my first real assignment, I was in aviation and I got medically disqualified, so I'll just gloss over that. But my first real assignment was Naval Construction Battalion Center, Gulfport. It's a Navy base in Gulfport, Mississippi. And then my first two assignments were at that base. So I was assigned to a public works department where I did construction management. And then my second assignment was to a Naval Mobile Construction Battalion, an NMCB. And so when I say assignment, that's what I mean, the unit you were assigned to. So your base, your unit or your assignment, and then every position that you had at that assignment. And list all of those out in kind of chunks. And don't forget collaterals. A lot of collaterals are really critical, or you do some really cool stuff, command fitness leader, maybe that plays into how you're really into fitness in your personal life. And that's a good personal story to have handy if your interviewer wants to talk about that. Maybe you're an equal opportunity officer, or you're really involved in the sexual assault program. In the Navy, it's called SAPR. If you had these key leadership skills in something other than your primary duty, that's okay. And that's good to talk about. And sometimes your success stories are going to come from that. I mean, for me, for example, in the volunteer section, I talk about how I was the active duty fund drive for the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society. I mean, that was a collateral, but it turned into good volunteer experience that I could talk about on my resume. So whatever collaterals you had, just don't forget to include those. If you really didn't do anything, you had some position as a collateral duty, but you really didn't do anything, like you managed the gee dunk or the snack room or something like that. I mean, nobody's going to care about that. But if you had legitimate positional authority, or you're really involved in a particular program, go ahead and put it down. And we'll decide later if it's worth putting it in. So for each position that you held, you want to write down 3 success stories or really accomplishments that you had in that position. And this is a minimum. You need at least 3. Now, some of you are going to look back on your roles and be like, oh man, I had like 7 or 8. That's great. Write down all 7 or 8, but you got to write down 3 key success stories or 3 key accomplishments. And the reason I asked you to pull out all your old performance reports is because there's probably a good amount of those on there. And what's really great about pulling out your old performance reports is that there's usually numbers in there. And we're going to talk about this later in the podcast, but numbers are really important. So as you're writing these accomplishments down, make sure you have numbers associated with them if possible. Number of people you led, dollar value of some particular assets that you managed, stuff like that. get the numbers down, because the numbers really stand out on resumes. And so as you write these success stories or accomplishments, try to capture as many numbers involved in those bullets as you can. And we're not writing full on bullets yet. Just, hey, I led 15 people and we aced our pre-deployment exercise. I mean, that's fine. Just simple stuff right now. We'll build the context. We'll build the bullet. We'll talk about the format of that bullet later. Right now, just get the success stories. Consequently, we also want your failure stories. So for every assignment or every position you had, I want one failure story associated with it. But don't just talk about how you failed. It needs to be a failure story that you learned from, something, some sort of lesson that you pulled from that experience. And if you can talk about in that same note, as we're writing these success and failure stories, if you can also talk about how you applied that lesson learned later on and it continued into a success story, oh man, that's full circle. That's really what we're looking for here, okay? So if you can bring it all full circle, definitely do. But at a minimum, it's got to be a failure. And then right next to that failure, write what is the lesson that you learned? Because these failures are not going to go in your resume. Resume is not a time to be honest about how you have screwed up at things. This is really prep for the interview. But since we're going through this process, we want to go ahead and capture that stuff now because it'll benefit you later on. So once you get all of this down on paper, now it's taking me a few minutes to talk about this. It's going to take you a long time to do this. But once you get all of that down, save that document as a separate file. Now, as we go through all of this, there's a lot of steps I'm talking about. You can go to transitionvetcoach.com, go to the blog section, and we have an entire post about this. So please feel free to use that as a reference as we go through all these steps. But in that document, I tell you, or in that blog post, I tell you to save that document as success and failure stories. So save that document separately, and then go back and save it as your draft resume file. So you have two different versions. You know, one will be the success and failure stories. That's a separate file. We're not going to touch that anymore for now. And we're going to continue on with that file as your draft resume. So get that saved as a separate file and then flip back over to your resume draft file and we'll continue on. So now that we've got everything down on paper, we're going to talk about how do you construct your bullet. If you've spent any time writing performance reports in the military, writing bullets, there's one thing that is key advice when writing, doing the write-up section of performance reports, and that's the so what or the impact, okay? If you write what, you know, that you expertly managed 15 people, well, who cares? Did you, like, were you successful in whatever you're trying to accomplish? What was the, you know, what was the impact? Who cares? So what? It's the same concept with these kind of bullets. But in a resume, people have no clue, more than likely, what you did in the military. So it's really important that you give them context. And the way we're going to do that is with the STAR format. You can Google this. This is not a resume secret exclusive to Transition Vet Coach. It's all over the internet. But it's really important for veterans because you need to set the context of your bullets. And the way you do that is a STAR format. And STAR stands for Situation, Task, Action, and Result. So for each assignment that you had, and not only every assignment, but every position that you had, write out the situation. What were you in charge of? Where were you? What were you doing? The situation is where you set the stage for what your primary responsibilities were. You know, like I said, where were you? What was your location? Where were you? Orient the reader to what was going on. Common situational tactics, you know, for my bullets are the number of people I was leading, the dollar value of the assets that we had, and just the scope of my mission within the overall unit. So if you were leading a department or you were leading a fire team or whatever, you know, you want to just orient the reader to what's going on with that. Now, as you write the situation, these are going to turn into mini summaries. So your bullets are actually only going to be task, action, and result. Your summary is going to be, if you go to the resume format page, you'll see how the resume is laid out and how we recommend you do it. You're going to have your unit and your mini summary, which is actually going to be a conglomeration or a grouping summary of everything that you did at the unit, just situationally. And then all of your bullets are going to be task, action, and result-based bullets. So that way, every bullet, you're not orienting them all over again. You're going to orient them, hey, I was assigned to this unit from 2015 to 2016. I was located here. This was the specific unit I was at. My overall position was whatever. And, you know, here's my situation. I led this many people. I had this much value in assets. And this was our overall, you know, mission was to deploy our unit to, you know, when we went on deployment, we were in charge of loading the aircraft or loading the ship or whatever and getting us out. Then all of your bullets will talk about the task, action, and result. What, you know, how did you do on your pre-deployment certification exercise? Or maybe you were really successful on deployment. Or maybe, you know, you had, you know, six people who worked in your department all advanced really quickly, or they all got awards at the end of deployment because they did such a great job and you were really instrumental in their success. Whatever the case is. But again, this situation, you're going to do this for every single position that you've had, because later when we come back and revise this, we're going to crush all those situations together so that you have one situation for each assignment that you had. Then your actual accomplishments will be all those bullets beneath that group summary. But for now, one summary for every single position that you held so that you can just orient yourself as you're going through this process of all the things that you did and what was the situation. How many people were you leading? You know, what was the dollar value? What was the mission? What were you trying to do? Now, as we get into the bullets, again, it's task, action, and result. So when you write this bullet, the first thing you want to understand is you need to start that bullet with an action word. So managed is boring. A lot of military bullets start with manage. Manage is, who cares? Like, oh, good job, you managed. You want to start it with an action word, executed, you know, expertly led, you know, brilliantly planned, whatever. Something that engages the reader so that as soon as they read that first word, it entices them just a bit. I mean, you're not going to, you know, let's be real, we're not all like amazing writers here, but you just want to give them that little bit of, they know from the first word in that bullet that you did something really special and you're going to tell them with the rest of the bullet. So start with an action word. The task and action should really not be that much of the bullet. At most, half of the bullet. I mean, I try to keep it to the first phrase. So most of the time, a bullet will be, you know, maybe a 1.5 to 2 full lines. And I try to keep my task and action to at most the first line, preferably the first half of the first line of that bullet. Because you just need to give them enough to know what you were trying to do. And what really matters is the result. The results. I mean, in corporate America, every company, every organization outside of corporate America is results oriented. They want to know, so what? Who cares? Why are you making me read your resume? Tell me something amazing. And this is how you do it. Give them real quick, give them the situation up front for all these bullets. You don't want to bore them with that in every single bullet, having to reorient them. So we did that. The task and in action are going to be the very beginning of that bullet, and then it's the results. So an example would be, I'll just pull one from my resume. This is on the blog post online. So the task and action would be executed over 650 airlift missions, moving 2,200 associates to 25 sites across 4 continents. And then the task and action. And then the result is with an unprecedented perfect on-time mission success rate throughout a 6-month deployment. Okay, so you can see in that bullet, it's about half task and action, and then the result is really important. And one thing I want to point out in the task and action is numbers. Now, quantifying, I talked about a little bit up front, but quantifying on your resume is insanely important. Put yourself in the reader's shoes, okay? You're interviewing with likely somebody from HR and a hiring manager, maybe a few other people. When they interview you, they're interviewing a lot of other people, okay? And all they do is read resumes. They're not going to read your resume word for word. Unless it's down to like 1 or 2 people and they're really being thorough, they might actually like read some of your bullets. But more than likely, people aren't going to just take your resume and, you know, sit down on the John and take a good 20 minutes to read it. That is literally never going to happen. You're going to read this way more than anyone else. People you interview with just flat out aren't going to read it. One way to get them to pay attention to certain things on your resume is with numbers. You want to put numbers on there wherever you can because numbers pop out. And like I said, all organizations, particularly in corporate America, they're results based. They want to have some sort of scale on what your level and measure of success was. And more importantly, if you can tie it to money, oh man, you're going to kill it. Money is what's so important. I mean, in my first assignment, like I said, my first assignment was in Gulfport, Mississippi. I was at a public works department and my job was construction management. So I managed construction projects for the base. We would have contractors bid to build us a new gas station or new medical clinic or whatever. And then we had a team of construction managers who were assigned to these projects. And it was our job to be the representative of the customer, in this case, the government, make sure that everything was being installed in accordance with the plans and specifications for the project. Well, one of the senior construction managers there, we had a blend of military and civilian, and this is my first assignment, so I was like 23 years old or so. One of the senior construction managers there was a retired naval officer who had been a civil engineer corps officer like myself, CB officer, and he was a construction manager as a retiree. And he had been doing this for a long time. And he and I used to have lunch all the time. And literally the first piece of advice he gave me on my first day, I didn't even hardly know him. He said, it's all about the money. And he was 100% right throughout that tour. And he's been 100% right in every single tour and every single position I've held since then and got out. In fact, the company I work for now has 6 core values. One of the core values is profitability. Their core value is making money. Because guess what? That's how businesses grow. That's how they create more jobs. That's how the economy grows. That's how the entire basis of our country is starting businesses and growing businesses. And how many times have you heard the small business is the backbone of the American economy? It's true. I mean, you know, building businesses is how everything gets better for everyone in every facet of your life. And that's why money matters. And so when you're writing your resume, money matters. It's all about the money. Now you might be thinking, well, I don't know how to tie it to money. Hey, Pat, in construction, it's really easy because, you know, the scope of the project is based on the dollar value. And that's true. It was easier for me, but it's not that complicated, guys. You can go, like, I'll give you an example. So let's say you led, a 8-man team let's say you were, like a convoy OIC, or you're officer in charge of a convoy or something like that. Or maybe you were in charge of just an aspect. Maybe you were just, a gunner for one truck, but you were in charge of that truck. Well, you can go online and figure out the value of an MRAP or a Humvee or whatever vehicle it was you were driving. And guess what? Those vehicles are really expensive because the government pays way too much for the things that we use on active duty. And we generally need some pretty heavy duty stuff, particularly in deployed environments. So if you were driving vehicles, go look up how much they cost on the internet. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to down to the 8th decimal. You just need a rough number. And the people you're interviewing with aren't going to call you out on it unless it sounds ridiculous. So just be roughly close. Humvee's a couple million bucks probably, or I don't know, maybe $1 million. I don't know. I know they're not cheap, or not Humvees, MRAPs, but regardless, go figure out what it costs and then use that as a way to show the scope and size of what your level of responsibility was. And if you were on a submarine or a ship or something like that, those things are like billions of dollars. And granted, you probably weren't the commanding officer of a ship or sub, but you might have been in charge of the engine room, or you might have been in charge of the comms department or something like that. Or maybe you were on watch, and when you're on watch, you know, you do have a lot of responsibility or on duty, whatever the case is. So look at it from that context. You don't have to have ever had a dollar value necessarily in your performance reports, but now is the time to show what your level of responsibility is. In the military, you don't have to tell anyone, hey, a submarine cost $1 billion. Because yeah, we all know that. That's not impressive. But in the outside world, they don't know that. Okay, they don't know how much a submarine costs, and they know it's probably expensive. But what they probably don't know is we put lieutenants on watch and drive the submarine. We put 28-year-olds, 26-year-olds on a submarine and say, go drive this in the middle of the night when everyone else is sleeping. I mean, that's a pretty big deal if you ask me. And it might not sound like a big deal to you if you're in that community because that's just what you do. But to the outside world, that's crazy. You don't get that kind of responsibility when you're 26. You might get that responsibility when you're 56, but not 26. So just put some context on what you've done. That's what's really unique about being in the military is we have a level of experience and a level of leadership that is just really unmatched in the private sector. And so talk about that. Get some context. Get dollar signs in your resume, okay? Not because you want to look cool, but because that's what people care about. That's what the reader cares about. As you're writing every section of this resume, put yourself in the reader's shoes, man. They're going to read a lot of resumes, so numbers stand out. And what are the best numbers to a company that's looking to make money? Money. So if you can add money in, do it. It's so, so important. So as we're going through this process, follow the plan. And I really encourage you to go to transitionvetcoach.com, look at the blog post. This is the longest post we've had, but it's by far the most instrumental in your success. Is follow the steps. Write out where you were assigned, you know, or where you were located, or what base, where you were assigned, what positions you held, collaterals, you know, accomplishments, failures, all that stuff. Get it all written down. Follow the plan. It's going to be a pain in the ass up front. It really is, but I promise you it's worth it in the end to go through this line by line, every single thing you've done, because the people reading your resume are going to spend like 8 seconds. That's like the average time. And I don't know how accurate that really is, but because honestly, by the time people are actually reading your resume, you're in an interview and they've probably spent more than 8 seconds on it because computers filter out the, I think the 8 second thing comes before computers really, before the content management system for career pages existed, where they just automatically filter out resumes. Maybe back in the day, 8 seconds sounds about right. But nowadays, people are going to spend a little bit more time on your resume, but they're not going to spend that much time. And so you want every bullet to pack that punch. So if they select any section of your resume, they're like, oh, cool, this guy, you know, went on deployment to Afghanistan. You want the bullets there to kill it. Or maybe they want to look at what you did most recently. And you want those bullets to kill it. Whatever the case is, every single section of this resume has to be awesome because you don't know what the reader is going to look at. And now we'll talk about, you know, as we go through these podcasts, we talk about, you know, specific things that they're going to look at. You know, we talk about why the professional summary is up at the top of the resume because they're probably going to read that. That's your introduction to them reading it. And that's a really easy way for them to get an idea of what you're looking to do. And like we talked about in that podcast, it's kind of replacing the cover letter. It hasn't completely done that, but it kind of is. So that's why we put that there. And all of these different sections, we have different places for them. We put, you know, I recommend you put education at the end, unless you're most recently graduated from college, because honestly, they don't really care. Like if you're in the interview, they already know that from an education standpoint, you're qualified. So that's why I recommend you put it at the end. But if you were enlisted and you didn't have your degree, you got out, you used your GI Bill, got your degree, and now you're looking for a job, I'd probably put that at the top because you're probably trying to get a job in the field in which you studied in college. But if you know, if you're a JO or like a field grade officer and you graduated from college 10 years ago, I mean, put it at the end, man. Like nobody, you know, it really doesn't matter. If they're curious where you went to school, they'll look, but I wouldn't put it at the front. So anyway, all of these, you know, there's a strategy behind, or as President Bush would say, a strategery behind all the sections and where we place them on the resume. And for the professional experience section, every single bullet has to pack a punch because you never know where they're going to look. This section is so long, it's like 50% or more of your resume. And so every single piece of it has to be great. And so that's why it's so important that you're really thorough as you follow everything, single thing you've done in the military. You get your performance reports out, go through them, remember everything you did, reflect on it. And that process, like I said, it's also going to be beneficial when you get ready for your interview. So definitely, definitely be thorough, be detail oriented. That's one value that military adds to any organization, and do it in your resume because I know you have it. As you're going through this process, it's your resume draft is probably going to be like 20 pages long or something. Maybe not that long, but it'll be long. Don't worry about that. Get everything down first. I mean, you're going to revise and edit this thing like 1,000 times. So, and you're probably going to do it for every specific job that you're applying for, which is going to suck, but you kind of need to do it. So don't worry about how long it is initially. Just get everything down. That's the hard part. Revising and editing, I mean, that's not easy, but it's easier, in my opinion, than getting it down on paper. Getting it down on paper is a slog, man. It took me a while to really get this process going. But once you get it all down, you'll already have an idea of what's important. Just by going through the process, you know, you'll remember, oh, wait, my first assignment, man, I was ranked number one or something like that. You know, you'll get to get an idea as you go through what's important. And so when you go back to edit, you'll be like, yeah, this accomplishment's lame, or Pat made me do three. I really only had one, you know, or I had eight for this one. You know, maybe I can take these three bullets and make them one bullet or something like that. So as you go through the process, revising and editing will just sort of come to you. It'll take some time, but it'll come to you as you go through it. But just get it down all on paper and don't worry about how long your first draft is, because it's probably going to be insanely long. If you haven't yet, put everything in reverse chronological order. Up front, I said it really doesn't matter, because at the time, as you're going through this process, the focus is get it all down on paper. If you need to flip it and reverse it, do that. Companies care, what have you done for me lately? They don't care what you did 10 years ago. They want to know, what did you do last year? They want to know, over time, are you getting more and more responsibility? Are you getting better at things? Are you gaining skills? Whatever the case is. If you were ranked number one in your first unit and you never ranked well again, that's going to look like you flatlined. You did well and then you stopped giving a shit. So reverse chronological order for chronological resumes is really important. Do not do it the other way. They care what you most recently did. Now, we talked about it a little bit in the initial setup, but go to the resume format post on transitionvetcoach.com and you'll see how we recommend you lay this out. Each section of your professional experience section overall, each chunk should be your assignment. And now if you've had like 12 assignments, you're going to have to kind of squish them together and be a little bit more creative. But for the most part, most people who've been in less than 10 years, you should be able to get this down on two pages. And even if you've been in a little bit longer than that, you should still be able to do this. Where each assignment, you have your mini summary. So maybe you're assigned to, some infantry battalion. And so you can talk about, what the overall situation was there, how many people did you lead, blah, 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 blah. And then you may have had three or four different roles in that battalion over the 3 years you were there. So your bullets are really where you're capturing the accomplishments of all those different positions that you held. So do not have a section for every single position you've held. I've seen resumes like that, and it's really like stupid, honestly. I saw one where he talked about positions he held before the unit deployed, the position he held on deployment, and then the position he held when he got back. And I'm like, dude, this is stupid. Like, you're in the same unit three different sections in a row. Like, stop wasting my time. Just put it all in one. Like, it's stupid. And when I read that, I don't even know that much about, I'm not like a professional recruiter or anything, and it annoyed me. So I imagine it really annoys people who do this for a living. So collect everything as one assignment. And if you've been in a really long time, you're going to have to condense it even more. But you don't want 15 sections in this professional experience section. You're never going to fit it on the resume. And it's annoying. Like, let's be real. If you've been in less than 10 years, you haven't really done that much. I mean, don't get me wrong. You accomplished a lot. Like, good job. Pat on the back. But, there's absolutely no reason you can't get it down on two pages. And you don't need a ton of little sections. Group things together as much as you can. And the best way to do that is your assignment. If you're assigned to a unit, you had multiple positions while you were there, make that one section. The bullets can be the accomplishments of all the different positions you've held. The summary should be one consistent, clean summary for your entire time at that unit. When you're building this, you're going to see in the format, you got to put what your position was. Do not put company commander or department head. Actually isn't that bad, but do not put stuff like that, military jargon. People don't know what that is. For now, put it, because you know what it is, and that's really, really where we are at this point. But as you revise this resume, you got to change it. Now, some common ones are like project manager, program manager, stuff like that, ops manager, logistics manager, stuff like that. And if you look at mine, that's what mine are. But you gotta give the people reading it some context, and they're not going to understand what you did on, what company commander means. If they're in the military, they will, but most people you interview with were not in the military. So you gotta convert that. Now, the best way to do this is Google. There's a lot of resources out there. So millennials' best friend is the internet. So get on the internet and figure that out, or go on LinkedIn and find other veteran profiles and see what they did. Google mine, see what terminology I use. Some terminology I don't convert from military because I want people to know I was in the military. And you don't want to whitewash your resume so much that people don't even know you're in the military. I've seen veterans do that, and they get so generic with their terms that I can't even tell what they did. And sometimes you are going to interview with a veteran and they're going to want to know, like, what the hell did you do here? I can't even figure it out. So you don't want to write your resume for those people, because more often than not, you will not be interviewing with a veteran. However, the bottom line is you're going to have to convert your title at a minimum. And the other thing I would say is do not use the word subordinates in your resume. That is a very common word in performance reports, especially if you're a leader and you have subordinates. That is not a good word to use in corporate America. You can use personnel, teammates, associates, individuals, something like that. There's a lot of other, you know, ways to do it. Just Google it. But don't use the word subordinates. And don't worry about it now, but as you're revising and editing, figure out how to collectively group together what you did. And I'll give you an example. When I was in a CB battalion, I was a company commander and the embarkation officer, and also a detachment OIC. I was also equal opportunity officer. And then I was also, and I did a few other things. Like so many of you, you know, I've had a million positions at different units. I just grouped that all together as a logistics manager. Like, it's tough when you're writing this, because you don't want to sell yourself short. You want to be like, oh, like I did all this cool stuff. But like, in reality, like the person interviewing you like doesn't really care. I mean, they just want to know what you did. And really, when you get to the interview, they want to get to know you. So that title, don't stress over it too much. Just, you know, pick something kind of generic that makes sense, that kind of captures what you did, and move on. And, you know, as you revise it and edit and look at other people's resumes and LinkedIn profiles, you might find a better word for it. But, you know, just keep it simple for now. Don't even bother converting it when you're first writing all this out. But as you go back and edit, figure out something that works. But don't stress over it, because honestly, it doesn't really matter. You just, all you're trying to do with that title is give people a basic idea of what you were doing: logistics, ops, projects, programs, whatever. So don't stress over it too much. And the one thing I just want to stress more so than anything else as you're revising this is focusing on the so what's, focusing on the impact. I spent time after time after time telling all my troops, focus on the impact, and they never freaking did it. Like, they would tell me, you know, how many people they managed, but they would not focus on the result, the impact. And give people context. If you had 100% mission success rate, well, is that good? 99% maintenance compliance. Well, I don't know what the standard, is that good? I see so many resumes where they talk about 97% this or 99% that. Well, maybe that's normal. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're just telling me you did your job. Say an unprecedented 99% compliance rate, or, you know, all-time record scores on deployment certification exercise, rather than, you know, A-star deployment exercise. Well, yeah, you're supposed to. You're supposed to deploy and you're supposed to be able to. You know, tell them that you got the best scores of all time, or whatever the case is. Give them some context, because if you don't touch on the impact and give some context to that impact, you're wasting your time. You're wasting the reader's time. So give them the so what, give them the impact, show that as much as you can, because otherwise they're going to get bored of reading your resume because they don't know what the hell you did and whether or not it was important. As far as like format of the resume, you can look at mine. I honestly don't know what font it was. I think it was 11 point font, but the actual type of font, I don't know, probably like Times New Roman or something like that. I really wouldn't worry about that too much. I would do nothing smaller than 11 point. I see it sometimes resumes where the font is really small because they want to jam in everything on there. You're not doing yourself any favors, because a lot of people reading these resumes are older and they won't be able to read it. So nothing smaller than 11 in my opinion. You might be able to get away with 10 depending on the type of font, but stick with 11, normal size font. You'll see how we bold, how we recommend you bold stuff on the format page. So check out that blog post. And then, yeah, as far as type of font, just keep it simple. Nothing like papyrus or, you know, Comic Sans. I mean, none of that, okay? Just something basic: Helvetica, Times New Roman, Calibri, whatever. And some of you haven't been in that long. And as you go through this, you might be like, hey, I could probably fit this on one page. And that's great. Don't feel like you have to do two pages. I do two pages because most people were in for enough time to where they can fill up two pages worth of information. Now, you definitely don't go over two pages. If you go over two pages, nobody's even going to look at you. They're going to think you're an idiot. So two pages is definitely the standard. But a lot of people recommend one page. And I definitely recommend one page. If you were only in for 4 years and you were at one unit and you only had so much responsibility, don't draw it out over two pages, because people are going to know you're fluffing it, and you don't want to put fluff in your resume. You want every you know, line to pack a punch. So one page is totally okay. And like I said, a lot of people recommend one page. I mean, you'll see, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and their resumes are one page. Now, they don't really need their resume to get jobs, but they can do it and you can too. And so even if you've been in 20 years, if you want to go with a one page resume, you can. When I got out, my resume was one page. I don't think that was the best format. The headhunter I used recommended a certain format. I used it, but since getting out, I found what I feel like is a much better format. I think two pages makes more sense because it gives an opportunity to talk about kind of skills I've gained and things that have been going on since I got out. And that's why we recommend that two page on the site. So definitely, if you can, two pages. But if one page is totally fine, do not worry about that. You're not going to raise any eyebrows with a one page resume. They see that all the time. The last thing I'll say is, if you ever ranked highly in your unit, if you ever ranked in the top 25%, or you were ranked number one or number two, put that as your last bullet for your section. So now, if you only did it once and it was your first unit and you haven't done it since, you don't want to look like you flamed out. You had one good assignment and that was it. So you'll have to figure that out if you think that's worth it. But if you've done it multiple times, definitely put it in there that you were ranked number one or number two or number three, you know. But I wouldn't put it unless you were in the top 25%, because you don't want to say top 50%. Okay, basically you didn't suck. You know, you don't want to do that. Top third, maybe. That's not too bad as far as putting it on there. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times I was not at the top. So, we've all been there. But if you were, I recommend you put it on there, because you're never going to get an opportunity in corporate America to where you're ranked. Very seldomly is that an opportunity. And so you want to take advantage of that. Show that when you're in the military, where we do rank people, you're number one. Like, don't forget to put that in there, because that's going to give people context for what kind of individual you are. So I would definitely lay that in there. It's not like a specific accomplishment, because you didn't actually do something. That was just a collection of your results got you that ranking. So don't mix it in all the other bullets. Just put it as the last bullet. Make sure it's one line. Don't take two lines to say I was number one. But, you know, put it as the last bullet, and it just kind of summarizes, hey, I did all this cool stuff. You know, I was really successful. And when I checked out, you know, or when it was time for annual performance reports, I was number one or number two or whatever the case is. So definitely drop that in there at the end. Okay. So you've heard all of that, and now let's summarize it. Okay. So remember, list all your locations, and underneath each location, your assignments or the units that you were assigned to, and then the positions you've held. Now under each position, three accomplishments, a minimum of three. If you had eight, that's fine, but a minimum of three. Find three, and then one failure with the lesson learned. Don't just put a failure, because that's not going to help you later on. But if you know the lesson that you learned from that failure, you got to have that. And then if you applied that lesson learned later and that became a success, even better. That's like a real great story to have in an interview. So as you're writing that down, you know, keep that in mind. See if you have something you screwed up and you figured out later on. When it comes to bullets, star format, situation, task, action, result. What's most important? Result, results, results. Answer the so what. That's the result. And remember, give context for that result. Remember, we talked about 99%, you know, success rate. Okay, well, maybe that was a standard and you just met it. Give them context. Unprecedented, you know, record scores, whatever the case is, give some context. Now, going back to the situation. Situation is a mini summary for your overall responsibility for all the positions you've held. Remember, we're going to collect that all together for one assignment. Your full situation summary, so that in each bullet, you're not going back over that. Task, action, and result for each bullet. Your task and action should not be more than half of that bullet, preferably like a third, the first third of that bullet, and then focus on the results the rest of the time. Remember, in those bullets, quantify. It's insanely important. That's what people's eyes are drawn to. That's what they want to see. They're results oriented. I'm moving my arm for impact right now as if I was presenting to you guys. So quantify, results. And if you can make those quantifications money related, absolutely make it money related. Money not only, you know, is what companies care about, but also it can help provide context. If you're in charge of a $35 million set of vehicles, or you're in charge of a $400 million, table of allowance of construction equipment, whatever the case is, gives people some context for what your level of responsibility was. And like I was told at my very first unit or very first assignment in the Navy by one of my mentors, it's all about the money. It's all about the money. Trust me. We just had a government shutdown. It's all about the money in the government too, which is where the DOD resides. So it's all about the money. Focus on that as much as you can. Remember, two pages is best for most, but one page is 110% totally okay. If you've only been in for a short period of time and you feel like that's more appropriate, go with that. Do not stretch it out to two pages if you didn't really accomplish that much. That's totally fine. One page is very common. A lot of other people recommend two pages, but with Transition Vet Coach, we're trying to give one format for that can work for everybody and a format that I know is really good. And so that's the format that we recommend is a two page, but you can do this all, same format on one page. You're just going to have everything shrunk down and that's totally okay. So totally, totally okay. And then lastly, revise and edit this thing over and over and over and over again. I still revise and re-edit mine. I mean, I go back and look at bullets I wrote a year ago and I'm like, oh, this could sound better. Or I could do it this way. Or I could say that. You're always going to be learning. You're always going to be revising. You're always going to be editing this thing and continue to do that. Because every time you take a fresh look, you're probably going to find something that could be fixed and have other people read it. They might look at it and be like, this bullet doesn't make any sense to me. Or they may be like, hey, what's the so what here? I don't see it. Maybe you thought it was in there, but other people reading it didn't. Get your spouse, or your friends, or the hobo down the street, get anybody to take a look at it so they can give you an outside perspective on whether you're accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish and tell them, hey, I'm trying to make sure that the so what of everything I did is in here. Can you take a look? And people will be happy to look. So definitely do that. As always, if you have any questions, you can always hit me up, pat@transitionvetcoach.com, pat@transitionvetcoach.com. Go to the website, transitionvetcoach.com. Subscribe to our newsletter where we tell you when we have new posts out, new podcasts out, new content. Everything is free. Definitely check out the site, subscribe, email me if you have any questions or you hate the podcast or you love the podcast or whatever. Email me, be happy to answer your guys' questions. Thanks so much for listening once again. And as always, we end with the same quote, Winston Churchill quote, one of my faves, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. We always talk about it. You're going to get no's in interviews. You need to keep drudging on, keep going. And even when you find your first job, you might not like it. It's like a 60, 70% of vets, leave their first job within 2 years, something like that. And that's what Winston Churchill meant when he said success is not final. Just because you find that job doesn't mean you're going to be there forever. And in this day and age, people are moving between jobs more than ever. And so there's just because you found a job doesn't mean it's the end. When I found my first job, my resume looks completely different from when I was placed at my current job to the way it looks now. And that's because you always need to be revising and re-editing these things because success is not final. But when you get those no's or you're screwing up at work or it's just totally different and it's not, it's not the military and you're having a hard time getting through that, failure is not fatal. It's not going to kill you. You guys have screwed up in the military. You've picked yourself up. You've dusted yourself off and you've moved on. Just remember those moments as motivation to keep trudging on, keep working and keep getting through it because eventually you're going to get somewhere where you want to be. You're going to be transitioned. You're going to feel that sense of accomplishment, that sense of, hey, I'm finally in a good place. You're going to get there. And it's that courage to continue that counts. Veterans are in a unique place where we've had to go through very, very difficult and challenging environments that your civilian friends honestly probably can't relate to. I know that mine can't. Sometimes I talk about stuff and you can just tell they just don't really understand. And so that courage that you have built as a veteran is hugely important in this process. And all those tough times that you've had to work through are really setting you up for success going through this process because it's going to be hard. It's just going to be a different hard than you're used to. So success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new section of the resume. I don't have my format in front of me, but I promise it'll be a good one. It'll probably be a lot shorter than this. This is definitely our longest to date, almost an hour at this point. So thanks so much for listening, guys. This is Pat, host of the Transition Vet Coach Transition Tips Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. As always, email me, pat@transitionvetcoach.com, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Vet Coach Transition Tips Podcast. For more transition tips and content, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out transitionvetcoach.com. Thanks so much for your service and all you do. As always, if you have any questions, email Pat directly at pat@transitionvetcoach.com.